This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, May 25th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
investors navigate risks from North Korea to Spain, Italy, and Turkey.
North Korea offers a measured response to President Trump's cancellation of the June summit.
Spain's opposition party pushes to remove Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy.
Proposals from Italy's populist party spread jitters among investors.
An explosion at a Toronto-area restaurant injured at least 15 people. Plus, Hollywood movie mogul Harvey Weinstein will surrender to New York authorities. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Mets whitewash Milwaukee, and the Warriors push to the brink of elimination.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European equities are higher as crude slumps. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 62 and Nasdaq futures up 28. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, little change today, up less than 0.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.9% at $1.34 to $69.37 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 20 cents to $13.0960 an ounce. The euro $1.1713 and the yen 109.47. Bob.
Front and center this morning, geopolitics, beginning with North Korea, where the government says it's surprised by President Trump's decision to cancel a summit scheduled for June 12th. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
North Korea is surprised. South Korea says they're perplexed. But when my phone started ringing in the middle of the night, I wasn't actually that surprised. The fact that it was going to happen was probably more surprising to me than the fact that Donald Trump has canceled. This is par for the course for the kind of one-upsmanship that is going on between these two gentlemen. There's still 18 days until June 12th in Singapore, and the North Koreans already seem to be backing away from their tougher line that they've had over the last week. Obviously, the North Koreans at this juncture are not going to be giving up their nuclear arsenal completely.
Market reaction to the news has been muted, as North Korea says it remains willing to meet with the U.S. at any time. Mark Cudmore covers markets for Bloomberg from Singapore.
What's amazing is that the North Korea story really isn't a story for markets. It seems like most investors kind of doubted that the meeting would actually go ahead on June 12th in the first place. And now that it's officially been cancelled, they're doubting that it will actually stay cancelled for the rest of the summer.
North Korea issued a statement saying it still wants to pursue peace and will give Washington more time to reconsider talks.
In Italy, populist parties are spreading jitters among investors with proposals that could reverse efforts to strengthen the balance sheets of the country's banks. The plans include reviews of fiscal policy and Basel banking accords. Luca Palloni is chief strategist for Pictet Asset Management.
The economic program of the government is probably not as radical as many people think, but the risk is there. We know that almost 60% of the Italians say that the European Union is bad for them. So there is definitely the risk of some kind of experiment done by the new government, but it's too early to tell, and I suspect they will do what Trump is doing, make some big announcement, followed by some big retreat. So I wouldn't be too worried, but it's something obviously you have to keep an eye on.
Spending plans by the Italian populist coalition include reforms that could cost as much as $117 billion.
In Spain, the country's biggest opposition party has registered a no-confidence motion against Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy. The move by the Socialist Party comes after Rajoy's former aides were convicted of running a multi-million euro corruption racket. Bloomberg's Charles Penty reports from Madrid.
Socialist leader Pedro Sanchez seems ready to seize the moment to pile pressure on Rajoy with the no-confidence vote. The ploy also puts pressure on Ciudadanos, a party that has surged in the polls in the wake of the recent Catalan independence crisis and which has lent its support to Rajoy on key legislation.
Socialist leader Pedro Sanchez has held an emergency meeting of the party's leadership to back his call for that no-confidence vote.
In Turkey, the lira is paring losses after the country's central bank said it would allow exporters to repay dollar-denominated loans in the local currency. Still, the Turkish lira is headed for its biggest weekly drop since the global financial crisis. It's weakened about 6% since last week's Bloomberg exclusive interview with President Erdogan, where he promised to take more responsibility for monetary policy. IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde is now urging Turkey's government to preserve the independence of its central bank.
Some of the comments made alerted the international community and particularly the investors to the fact that suddenly the central bank of Turkey could be under directions, instructions, influence. And I think that has created a sense of uncertainty, lack of confidence, which has found its way in the market.
In an interview with Bloomberg from St. Petersburg, Russia, Christine Lagarde stressed that government should let central bankers do their jobs without interference.
Oil is headed for its first weekly decline in nearly a month as Saudi Arabia and Russia consider easing global output cuts. The Saudi Energy Ministry tells Bloomberg that OPEC and its allies are likely to boost oil output in the second half of this year. Wayne Gorton is Executive Director of Commodities for UBS.
As we go into the OPEC meeting, we do expect that they will start to lift these production curbs, not too much. But nonetheless, you could expect more oil out of Saudi Arabia, as well as Russia, for example, and other OPEC nations.
That, plus the risk of supply disruptions from Iran and Venezuela, is weighing on crude prices. Right now, Brent crude is lower by 2% at $77.18 a barrel, and West Texas Intermediate is lower by 2% at $69.32.
And on the trade front, Mexico has told the U.S. it can be flexible on automotive wages and content in exchange for U.S. negotiators withdrawing some of their other toughest demands in NAFTA talks. That's according to two people familiar with the discussions who tell Bloomberg Mexico has offered to boost auto wages. That would come in exchange for U.S. concessions on government contracting opportunities, exports of Mexican farm goods, and an automatic termination clause. Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 56. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. So both sides say they're still open to talk. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has more now on the North Korea story. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. North Korea said it was surprised by President Donald Trump's decision to cancel a June 12th summit with Kim Jong-un, and it remains willing to meet with the U.S. at any time. Republican Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado.
I think President Trump was right in walking away from a summit that clearly was not going to be about denuclearization. I have spoken to the president about the need to move forward if indeed denuclearization was going to be possible, but Kim Jong-un has decided otherwise.
Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine.
I applaud them for trying to make the effort, but if it's not going to work, there's no reason to do it.
Trump called the collapse of his planned summit with Kim a tremendous setback for North Korea and indeed a setback for the world, adding that the U.S. military is ready, if necessary, in the event of a conflict on the Korean Peninsula. Canadian police say an explosion set off deliberately in a restaurant has wounded several people, some of them critically. Police say the blast late last night was caused by an improvised explosive device that was set off by two people who then fled the scene in the Toronto suburb of Mississauga. Deputy Chief of Paramedics Brian Gibson.
We transported 15 patients from the scene to local area hospitals. Three of those patients went down to a trauma center in Toronto.
The explosion took place at the Bombay Bell Hindu restaurant. Harvey Weinstein is expected to turn himself into police in New York City today following a seven-month investigation into sexual assault allegations against the disgraced movie mogul. It will be the first criminal case against Weinstein to come out of the allegations. Is Italy's new government heading for a confrontation with the EU? Bloomberg's John Villain in Rome explains.
Italy's premier designate, Giuseppe Conte, is drawing up a list of ministers to submit to President Sergio Mattarella. Conte needs Mattarella's green light to form a government. But there's an obstacle to resolve. The populist parties backing Conte want anti-euro economist Paolo Savona as finance minister, a choice which Mattarella is far from keen on. In Rome, John Fulane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Mets had the spotlight all to themselves on Thursday and made the most of it in Milwaukee.
3-1 to Mesoraco. And he drills one over the glove of Perez and down the line, and that'll bring in Conforto. Mesoraco with his second hit of the night, digs into second.
SNY with the play-by-play. 5-0 Mets as the bookends of the order came through for New York. A leadoff hitter Brandon Nimmo was 4-for-4 with the walk, and Amed Rosario, the ninth-place hitter, was 2-for-4. Steven Matz earned the win. Series continues from Miller Park tonight. Noah Syndergaard on the bump at 8-10. The Yankees were idle. They open up a homestand against Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, and the Angels. New York picked up a half game on the Red Sox, who were doubled up in Tampa Bay. Boston leads New York by a game entering play this weekend. NBA, the Rockets now in back-to-back games have taken down the champs Golden State, and they won the final possession. 98-94, Houston took Game 5 in a 3-2 series edge back to Oakland for Saturday. Eric Gordon was a hero for the Rockets. He scored 24 points. Golden State had 4 or 5 starters in double figures, including a game-high 29 for Kevin Durant. However, Chris Paul, star point guard for the Rockets, injured his leg in the final minute. He's listed as day-to-day. Houston coach Mike D'Antoni says next man up.
If he's there, great. Good for him. If he isn't, we have enough guys, and it's time for somebody else to step up. We got plenty of guys over there that will have some fresh legs, that's for sure. So we'll be all right. But we just got to continue what we're doing, and then we'll find that way.
The Cavs try and stave off elimination, trailing the Celtics 3-2. Tip-off from Cleveland, 8:30. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. Please join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show when we speak to professional lacrosse player and millionaire entrepreneur Paul Rabil. He plays for the New York Lizards and is co-founder of Rabil Ventures, which provides capital advisory and operating expertise to entrepreneurs and companies. That's tonight at 8, tomorrow at 11 on Bloomberg Radio, and download the Apple Podcast on iTunes. S&P futures up by 5 points. That is not quite 0.2%. The 10-year yield at 2.9661%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Greenwich. During the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, receive 1.99% APR plus complimentary prepaid maintenance for 2 years on select models. To learn more, visit MercedesBenzofGreenwich.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we did have this headline. Crossing the Bloomberg, the centrist party that holds the balance of power in the Spanish parliament said it's ready to back a no-confidence vote against Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy unless he calls a snap election. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. North Korea says it would be happy to meet President Trump anytime. The country's foreign minister says it wants peace. That comes after the U.S. canceled the meeting planned for June the 12th. OPEC and Russia are discussing scaling back oil supply caps for the first time. People familiar with the matter say there are a couple of options up for debate before the group's meeting at the end of June. Mexico can be flexible on car industry wages and vehicle content if the US withdraws its toughest NAFTA demands. That's according to people familiar with the NAFTA talks, who say negotiators for Mexico offered to ensure at least 20% of a car's value would come from higher paid workers. And Apple has won $539 million from Samsung. The award ends a 7-year battle between the companies over design and technology. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures are higher. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds. Yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil down 2% on $1.42 to $69.29 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $1,309.90 an ounce. And the euro is at $1.1722. It's little changed against the dollar. The yen at 109.42. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Harvey Weinstein is expected to be charged with at least a criminal sexual act after he turns himself into authorities today. Two officials say the criminal case involves allegations by an aspiring actress who says Weinstein sexually assaulted her in 2004. Weinstein is expected to make a court appearance in New York City today. Canadian police say a blast from an IED in a restaurant has wounded at least 15 people. The blast happened last night in the plaza where the restaurant is located. Was still sealed off early this morning. In baseball, the Mets won along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox lost. In the NBA Western Conference Finals, the Rockets have a 3-2 lead over the Warriors after Golden State lost Game 5. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
Good morning to you. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. We haven't heard this much concern about being underwater since the height of the mortgage crisis. But this morning, it's not figurative. We literally mean underwater. And a new analysis from the advisory firm 427 pinpoints some of the U.S. cities most exposed to that risk from climate change. Joining us now with details is Amanda Albright, Bloomberg Muni Bond reporter. Amanda, welcome back with us. Always interesting, and especially so this morning. This firm is essentially telling cities and investors, watch out, here's where the risk really is. And it's probably no surprise we're talking Florida.
Yes, so there weren't a lot of surprises in the report in terms of Florida being a very exposed state, but it was a little bit surprising the extent to which cities there kind of made the top of the rankings for, you know, exposure to sea level rise and cyclone risk.
And what are the specific top cities?
Right, so the top cities in Florida were Miami Beach and Sarasota, so two destinations for vacation, lots of, like, you know, nice beaches there, and especially Miami, I think, you know, the hurricanes this year kind of shed light on kind of how exposed that city really is. And also, you know, people in Miami are very prepared for cyclones, but kind of the longer term damage from sea level rise is something that the city really needs to grapple with.
So why should muni bond investors care?
So there are a lot of credit risks associated with climate change, and some of them, you know, are kind of shorter term, but a lot of them are, you know, more longer term risks. And so when investors are buying, you know, 30-year maturities, 20-year maturities, climate change is something that they're going to have to consider before buying bonds from these localities. So one kind of factor that the report pointed to was property tax revenue. So, you know, in Florida, if homeowners know that sea level rise or storm surges are, you know, something that could happen at any given point, that's going to affect the value of their homes, which could hurt the property tax that cities rely on across the U.S.
So here's where it gets interesting. Does this make it into the bond ratings?
So right now, Moody's and S&P are kind of going through this just kind of changing and, you know, looking at the methodologies for climate change. Right now, they say that they incorporate climate change in sort of some of their rating methodologies. So the ratings firms are very, you know, formulaic a little bit when they develop ratings on cities and states. So they say that they look at things like the leadership of a city to see if they're, you know, well prepared to deal with the, you know, a weather event. And so they kind of incorporate it into things like that. Another important factor is, you know, looking at population. So if your population has already declined a little bit, what could a hurricane do to that?
So we've got this firm, 427, that went out and put these numbers together. Do they run the risk of scaring muni bond investors away?
Yeah, so that was one thing that they talked about. You know, they said that they didn't want that this report and this information to kind of make investors not buy bonds or not participate in projects, you know, sold by Miami Beach or Sarasota. You know, they talked about the importance of investing in resiliency projects. And that's something that, you know, they definitely have the opportunity to do because a lot more cities are selling green bonds and, you know, kind of looking at climate change, especially in some of the more Democratic states. You know, they really have their eye on what's the best way for us to invest in our infrastructure to kind of mitigate the effects of climate change later on.
It's kind of ironic then that you could actually be putting your money into green bonds and helping out the situation.
Exactly. And so, you know, the whole idea behind this report is that there's been very little research done on, you know, the exposure of localities to climate change. So this sort of offers a look at 700 cities and over 3,000 counties. And so you as an investor can look at this information and decide for yourself, you know, how you want to participate, what maturities you would be willing to buy, and kind of how that community can be a little more resilient.
Okay, Amanda Albright is Bloomberg Muni Bond Reporter. And let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures up by 4 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures higher by 47 points. NASDAQ futures up 24 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 3/32. The yield down to 2.9642%. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the 2018 Range Rover Velar. It brings together elegance and innovation like you've never seen before. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It's Friday and 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are higher after North Korea said it remains willing to meet with the U.S. at any time, even after President Trump canceled a June 12th summit with Kim Jong-un.
Oil is poised to post its first weekly decline in almost a month as Saudi Arabia and Russia discuss easing global output cuts. Checking oil right now, Brent crude is lower by 2% at $77.18 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate lower by 1.8% at $69.40.
The UK economy barely grew in the first quarter as household spending posted its weakest performance in more than 3 years. Economic growth in the UK was left unrevised at 0.1%.
German business confidence has halted a five-month slide. The Ifo Institute's gauge of business climate held at 102.2 in May.
Here in the U.S., the government issues data on factory orders for durable goods, and economists forecast an April decline of 1.3%. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says a slowdown in aircraft orders will probably trigger a pullback in today's report. Outside of the transport sector, though, we could see some moderate gains. In March, durable goods orders rose 2.6%, the second consecutive solid increase. Also on today's agenda, consumer sentiment data from the University of Michigan. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinnie. On the earnings front, shares of Gap fell almost 8% at extended trading. Comparable sales at Gap-branded stores fell more than estimated. Foot Locker reports later this morning.
Apple has won more than $500 million in damages from Samsung Electronics in what is likely the final stages of a 7-year global patent battle.
And two utilities in the U.S. Midwest have finally gotten approval for their $15 billion merger. Great Plains Energy and Westar will combine next month and be called Evergy. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your volatility index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 12.53. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is down another 1% at 12.35. And that's this morning's volatility report.
And futures are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year 2.50%. COMEX gold up 0.1%. Up $1.40 to $13.1120 an ounce. And the euro $1.1730. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street. So we've heard from North Korea now reacting to the summit cancellation. Bloomberg's Michael Barr brings us up to date on hopes the denuclear talks might still happen at some point. Michael?
Thank you, Bob. North Korea says it is still open to a meeting with President Trump. The U.S. canceled the Singapore summit scheduled for next month. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is pushing back against criticism from Democrats of the Trump administration's dealings with North Korea. In a Senate hearing yesterday, Pompeo told Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico the U.S. was fully prepared for the June 12th summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Given that the president refuses to disclose his tax returns, how can you assure the American people that American foreign policy is free of his personal conflicts of interest?
Senator, I find that question bizarre.
You don't want to answer it then.
Senator,
I just want to describe it as bizarre.
Yes, I do. But I think that's indicative of my answer, Senator.
Trump says he withdrew from the summit, citing tremendous anger and open hostility in recent statements from the North. Justice Department officials held two meetings with lawmakers yesterday about classified information related to the Russia investigation in the 2016 election. President Trump claimed the FBI embedded a spy in his campaign. California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff.
Nothing we heard today has changed our view that there is no evidence to support any allegation that the FBI or any intelligence agency placed a spy in the Trump campaign.
The White House sent two representatives to the meetings, Chief of Staff John Kelly and the president's attorney Emmett Flood. Canadian police outside of Toronto say a blast from an improvised explosive device in a restaurant wounded at least 15 people. Peel Police Constable Irina Yashnik.
If anyone has witnessed anything or has any information in relation to this incident, please contact us.
The explosion in Mississauga took place at the Bombay Bell Hindu restaurant. Harvey Weinstein is expected to surrender today to authorities and appear in a New York City courtroom to face sexual assault charges. About 80 women who have come forward since last year with allegations against Weinstein sent the Me Too movement into motion. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you. Michael's got us up to date around the world now. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Mets got their offense from some unlikely spots in the lineup in Milwaukee.
Jennings is warming in the bullpen. That ball's ripped into the gap in left center. This will play two. All the way to the wall it goes. Rosario and Nimmo score. It's a two RBI double for Cabrera.
FS North on the call. 5-0. Mets blank the Brewers to take the first of a four-game weekend set. Brandon Nimmo 4-for-4 in the leadoff spot. Stephen Matz earned the win. We'll see if Noah Syndergaard can earn the win tonight. That'll be at 8:10. Yankees were off, heading home to face the Angels tonight, who took their series in Toronto. Shohei Ohtani expected to bat all weekend for the Halos. Luis Severino gets the pearl tonight. Yankees are a game back in the East, thanks to the Red Sox folding 6-3 in Tampa Bay. On the hardwood, Houston defended home court, beating the Warriors 98-94, pinning back-to-back losses on the champs in the playoffs for the first time since 2016.
Five on the shot clock.
That would be the highlight of the night for Chris Paul, though. After going 0-for-7 in the first half, scored 20 in the second, but he left the game with a leg injury in the final minute. He's listed as day-to-day for Game 6 Saturday in Oakland. And it's Game 6 tonight from Cleveland, 8:30 tip-off as LeBron and the Cavaliers try and hold off elimination against the Boston Celtics. Stanley Cup Final begins Monday in Sin City. It'll be Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals taking on the Las Vegas Golden Knights. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. And it's now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
With just over a month to go before Mexico's presidential election, the third time could be a charm for candidate Andrés Manuel López Obrador. The former mayor of Mexico City holds a commanding lead in the polls. He's capitalized on public disaffection with Mexico's political establishment. But his policies are uncertain, and his lack of regard for the country's independent institutions is worrisome. Voters are right to be angry, but they'd be wise to demand more clarity of their frontrunner. Enrique Peña Nieto's presidency has been plagued by scandals, and his bold economic reforms have failed to yield faster growth. More than 40% of Mexicans live in poverty. But López Obrador's proposed solutions are vague. Guaranteeing crop payments for farmers, freezing gasoline prices, boosting tuition and pension benefits, and generally expanding the state's economic role spell big fiscal trouble for a country with mounting debt. Mexico's success depends on further reforming the economy and building strong institutions of democratic governance. Voters should demand no less. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. From regulator to company boss, United Continental Holdings Board has named former Federal Aviation Administration Chairman Jane Garvey to be chairman of the company. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The carrier is working to improve operations and close a profit gap with rivals. Garvey will succeed Robert Milton, a former Air Canada CEO who led United's board for 2 years and announced plans last month to step down. Garvey guided the FAA through the aftermath of the September 11th terrorist attacks. As non-executive chairman, she will oversee United CEO Oscar Munoz's effort to widen profit margins to the levels enjoyed by Delta Airlines and American Airlines. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Now, 6:39 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. After a decade of concern over a bee population on the edge, there's fresh word that honeybees may be dying in larger numbers due to climate change. Beekeepers in the U.S. reported they lost 40% of their hives, also called colonies, to unexpected bee deaths during the year that ended March 31st. That's up from 33% a year earlier. Researchers from Auburn University and the University of Maryland point to an autumn that began with hurricanes in southern states, followed by abnormal temperature patterns and frequent winter storms, which they believe may have disrupted bee feeding patterns and increased their vulnerability to other maladies. Higher death rates make pollination more expensive for beekeepers and farmers, but commercial beekeepers have been able to cut their losses thanks to better care and management techniques. Elevated bee loss rates have been an agricultural concern for the past decade, since a mysterious malady called colony collapse disorder spurred greater attention to bee populations. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures up by 6 points. That is 0.25%. 10-year Treasury prices up 4/32 now. The yield is down to 2.9624%. And Bloomberg Opinion was brought to you by Benzo Bush Motor Car Corporation in beautiful Englewood, New Jersey. A true luxury experience. Benzo Bush is where luxury lives. Experience the elevated standard you deserve. Visit BenzoBush.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing right now, with Dow futures up 59 points, S&P's gained 6, while the Nasdaq futures gained 28. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.96%, and Hong Kong fell 0.6% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, the Gap EPS missed estimates, and raw stores beat but guided lower for Q2. Regarding earnings this morning, Foot Locker beat estimates. Shares are up 7.5% in the pre-market, and Hibbett Sports comp sales missed estimates. In deal news, the Johnson Controls power unit is set to draw KKR and Apollo interest. And wrapping things up, First Cash was downgraded to neutral at Credit Suisse, while PayPal upgraded to buy over at Stifel. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, North Korea says it is still willing to sit down for talks with the U.S. at any time. South Korean government spokesman says, I think all the parties involved are still hoping to solve the problem through dialogue. Yesterday, President Trump canceled meetings in Singapore scheduled for next month. Polls are open in Ireland for a contentious referendum on abortion. Voters today decide on repealing the Irish Constitution's Eighth Amendment, which puts heavy restrictions on abortions. In baseball, the Mets won along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox lost. In the NBA Western Conference Finals, the Rockets have a 3-2 lead over the Warriors after Golden State lost Game 5. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, auto racing fans, that's me. This is a major triple header this Sunday. It starts with F1's Monaco Grand Prix. Then later, it's the 102nd running of the Indy 500. Takuma Sato will defend his title, and it will be Danica Patrick's last auto race. And after that, Bob, it's NASCAR's Coca-Cola 600.
You know, I have a friend who I'll just call a NASCAR nut, and now I understand why he wanted to come and catch up with a visit yesterday instead of this weekend. You just helped me figure out what was happening there. I see what you did there, if you're listening.
See?
He loves Danica, by the way.
Well, there you go. So does Aaron. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in on what's going on in D.C. Some of the items we're watching in our nation's capital include President Trump speaking at the U.S. Naval Academy graduation and commissioning ceremony. He later meets with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at the White House. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, Congress breaks for Memorial Day recess. Lawmakers return to work the week of June 4th. But the biggest item we're looking at today is the latest developments in U.S.-North Korea relations. Here with the latest on how this twist and turn is playing out is Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, North Korea appears to be offering a measured response to President Trump's cancellation of their planned summit next month. Tell us more about how the North is spinning this forward.
Well, basically, North Korean officials have said that they are willing to sit down with the U.S. still at any point if the U.S. is willing to reciprocate. And so in some ways, it's from a diplomatic standpoint, it looks as though, you know, the North Koreans are essentially kind of taking a bit of a more of the high road by saying, you know, OK, it's fine if you don't want to meet with us, but we're still hopeful you will someday. And we're still here if you ever want to talk. So I think from kind of a strategic standpoint, that's what's going on, is that they're trying to make it look like they're not the ones, or emphasize the fact that they're not the ones taking a meeting off the table at this point.
Well, that's kind of interesting then, because then we've got both sides saying, hey, we're willing to talk if you want to talk, right?
Exactly. And I think it's just and this is where, you know, this has always kind of been the issue here, is that, you know, sure, both sides are willing to talk, but only under their own terms. And I think Trump got to the point where he felt as though the terms that North Korea was demanding weren't to his liking. And I think there was an increasing risk, or, you know, a growing risk, that he would sit down at the table with Kim and potentially not get the kind of deal that he's, you know, touted and talked about wanting to get. And so, excuse me, so it looked as though perhaps it was a smarter move for him to just scrap the summit completely at this stage rather than, you know, go forward with it and have it end up being a flop.
Did it have the effect of sort of softening to a degree some of the North's rhetoric of late?
Potentially, yes. I mean, I think in some ways the North kind of they kind of got what they wanted, in the sense that they were the ones that were able to kind of hold the line and, you know, criticize some of the way in which the U.S. was casting the meeting. The U.S. and U.S. officials kept bringing up the Libya scenario, which is how the U.S. dealt with Libya, and that didn't turn out very well for Muammar Gaddafi, we all know. And so I think that, you know, North Korea basically took a very harsh tone every time the U.S. brought that up, and I think that helped sour the relations and led to a situation where the U.S. and Kim were sort of talking past each other and not really making any progress. And so now that the meeting has been canned, I think both North Korea and the U.S. are both softening their rhetoric to say, as you pointed out, hey, you know, it's not that we're not willing to talk. We just, you know, haven't found the right venue yet.
Okay, let's turn to trade now. It's been a busy week for President Trump on that front. There was a truce to the so-called trade war with China, then the threat of tariffs on U.S. car and truck imports. All the while, the specter of sanctions on this Chinese company, ZTE, have been sparking debate in Washington. So where do things stand now?
Well, it's been a bit of a head-spinning week, as you pointed out. It just seems like in the span of 5 days, we've had, you know, a truce declared. We've had, you know, a whole new slew of tariffs come onto the table when it comes to auto imports. There's this outstanding ZTE question. So I think, you know, there's just a lot of moving parts at this point. And I think the main thing to kind of look ahead to is Wilbur Ross's trip, which is coming up next week, the end of next week. I think it's the 2nd through the 4th. So basically next weekend, he'll be heading to Asia. And I think that will be kind of the next potential inflection point for this. It'll be interesting to see what, if anything, comes out of that.
Yeah, and still more moving parts. Let us not forget about the NAFTA talks. And we're getting word that Mexico is ready to make a deal on some U.S. auto demands, but not without concessions from the U.S. What are we hearing there?
Yeah, so this is a potentially significant development, and I think it's worth noting that it does come on the heels of the, you know, auto action that the Trump administration announced that it was looking into earlier this week. I think that, you know, the auto issue has been one that has continually stymied these NAFTA talks. And so it sounds like Mexico is willing to make some concessions on their end as long as they get some concessions they're asking for from the U.S. So I think this is, to use a D.C. term, a cautiously optimistic sign of potential progress. But, you know, I think it's probably not something to get too excited about quite yet.
Okay, I'll accept that because we're just ahead of a holiday weekend. Thank you very much, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about this story and these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. It's now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The Trump administration is split over trade with China. The hawks insist China must make structural changes, such as curbing its theft of American intellectual property. The doves are willing to settle for short-term promises that China will reduce its trade surplus with us. The hawks are right that structural changes would serve Americans better than trade balance promises. But the doves are right that what's more important is to avoid worse outcomes. One possible outcome is a standoff that yields new tariffs on both sides that harm both countries' economies. Another is an escalating trade war that undermines the global trading system as a whole. The administration's stumbling conduct of trade diplomacy makes those scenarios all too thinkable. Given the dangers, it would be best for the administration to find a way to declare victory and get out of this trade battle. The stock market, which has reacted favorably to reports of administration retreat, seems to agree. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
An annual survey of small firms conducted by the Federal Reserve finds that most of them experience rising profitability and increased confidence. But that's not to say everything is great. In an accompanying statement, the New York Fed President William Dudley cautioned that even small businesses with the potential for strong growth are struggling to get sufficient financing. Young firms lack business credit histories, and the terms of financing are largely based on personal credit scores. The recession crippled consumer credit scores nationwide, Dudley writes, and that makes it even more important that we find ways to help small business owners establish or rebuild their personal finances. The Fed survey also found 74% of firms with less than $100,000 in revenue had trouble paying bills, and most of those said they thought they would be turned down for a loan, so they didn't even bother to apply. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. We are watching shares of Foot Locker this morning. They're up more than 12% in early trading after first quarter profit beat analysts' estimates and comp sales fell less than analysts were looking for. The initial public offering of Saudi Aramco will most likely happen in 2019, the kingdom's oil minister said today, confirming a delay into next year for what's likely to be the world's largest ever share sale. We are watching NYMEX crude oil this morning. It's down 1.8%. It's at $69.44 a barrel. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Pim Fox is coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.